Amen. If you guys could go with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. This scripture was a verse of the day the other day on the Bible app. Anyone read the verse of the day in the Bible app? I'm going to have them put it up on the screen because it's in the NLT. I really love this version in the NLT. Romans chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Starting with verse 4. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Now verse 8. Got you right. Yes, what joy for those who record the Lord has cleared of sin. Whose record the Lord, same thing, right? Whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. Man, that is an awesome thing to think about, though, that our sins have been forgiven. Our sins have washed away. And what's the word of God telling us? To be joyful. Joyful, joyful. I can't. Sorry, Pastor. I wish. Joyful, joyful, Lord. Just kidding. All right. So, word's talking about to be joyful. Now, I don't know about you. I'm sure you've heard it, because I remember Pastor Luke mentioned it earlier. Like, hey, if you want to go through something, all you got to do is preach about it, and it's going to happen in your life. And he was talking about that. And I know this week, as soon as I read the verse, I don't remember when it was the verse of the day, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday. It really just resonated with my spirit. It bore witness with my soul. What does that even mean? I know we say it all the time. You guys know what I mean, though, right? Just like, it just spoke to me. It really hit me, the idea of being joyful because our sins have been washed away, and it can be so easy to lose joy. And if any time, if I could be honest, to have reasons to not be joyful, it has been this week, right, babe? I don't like my hair today. I don't like how heavy I'm getting. I went on vacation and ate a little bit. I don't like how clothes are fitting me. I don't like how my son's acting. My wife has been mad at me. I've just reasons to not be joyful lately. But yet the scripture is telling us to be joyful, and it's given us the reason. Because at the end of the day, right, whether or not you like what's in your bank account or what's not in your bank account, what kind of job you have or don't have, come on. Or maybe you just don't like the situation that your life is in. You just don't like where you're at, how you feel. At the end of the day, there's reason to be joyful because he's washed away. Now that we're all born again in here, he's washed away your sins. Your sins have been forgiven. Your record has been cleared. Hello, your record has been cleared. All your wrongdoings are washed away. So if there's reason to have joy, that's a good reason. And so tonight, I mean, I was sharing with Pastor Joe earlier, I just felt such a burden. As much as this scripture spoke to me and made me challenge my reasons for joy, I felt a burden for our young adults, for our young people, for people of God in general, not just young, old and young. Because I know that we have an enemy. And the devil's a liar, amen? And the devil... The devil lies to us, to young. That's where I think it's for young people. The devil likes to lie to us, or young, maybe young in Christ, by making us feel like we shouldn't be joyful, or maybe like our sins haven't really been washed away, or like he can't really wash away those sins, right? Because only you and God know what you guys have really done, and so the enemy gets in our heads and says, "Oh man." Yeah, he can, God's power only extends to this much. Or, yeah, he died on the cross for you, and his blood washed away your sins, but once, he can't do it again. Because then after you said you got saved, you did X, Y, and Z. And I too often in talking to young people, do I hear that, yeah, I was going to church, and things were going good, and then this and that happened, and, you know, all of a sudden I just didn't feel worthy. And then we come in kind of like, and you kind of see on people, right? Like, you guys have seen it. Maybe you've gone through it yourself. You just don't feel worthy, and you don't have as much pep in your step. And then you see other people at church, and then it just kind of, you feel worse. And then all of a sudden, it's just easier to, I don't feel like going to shift tonight. I don't feel like going to church today. And it just gets easier to miss. And the next thing you know, it's been a few months. And no one really calls you, and no one called me, so they must not miss me. Or it's all these other excuses of why it's okay, but really, it all started with a lie. So point number one tonight is to know your position. Because I believe if we know our position as believers, hello, as believers, if we understand our position, that we are made righteous before God because he washed us of our sins, like it says in the Word of God, then if we know our position, how can we all of a sudden be outside of our position? See, if you know your position in a sport, let's see, what's a sport a lot of people know? Soccer. If you're a forward, that means you know you're up front, you know it's your job to score, you know what you're supposed to do, you know your assignment on the field. When you are all of a sudden told, hey, you're a forward, you're supposed to play defense. Now, if you know soccer, forwards, I mean, yes, you can help out, but your job is not to play defense. Your job is to get the ball from the at least the half, right, Pastor Joe, at least the half, right? Forwards can be kind of lazy. They just want to score and they want the glory. Pastor Joe, were you a forward? No, I'm just kidding. You were a midfielder, right? No, Ronaldo. I love Ronaldo, but he just lacks the glory. Okay, anyways. If you're listening, Ronaldo, I love you, brother. He's not listening. Anyways. You never know. Hey, so, but anyways, if you're outside of your position or someone tells you otherwise that this position is supposed to do here, hey, you know, you're a Christian, you know, you're a believer, you're supposed to believe for all these awesome things, but hey, you're not really, you can't really do that because, you know, God doesn't really love you or this, but all of a sudden we believe that lie. A forward would never believe that he's supposed to go all the way back to the goalie and run it all the way forward. Come, does that make sense, anyone? But yet, as believers, we hear these lies that, oh yeah, no, Jesus doesn't really love you that much, or hey, you can't really be praying for people because your faith is weak, or you know, you can't speak life into people because you're death in yourself, or you know what you did last night, so you shouldn't really be raising your hands in church. Come on, the truth is we should have our hands all the higher, because the reality is that what God says about you is the ultimate truth. And of the enemy, we know this, there is no truth in him. Point number two, you got to know your opponent. You got to know that the enemy is your opponent and that he is not trying to see you win. He's not trying to see anything good for you. We know the enemy's job is to steal, kill, and destroy. And this is the truth about the opponent. This is the truth about the enemy. The devil, I see it as he's like a toothless snake, right? Because he really has no bite. He has no real power over you. He has no real authority over you. So him knowing that, all he can do is try to deceive you, trick you into making you, and intimidate you to make you feel like he does have that power over you. Right? It's kind of like if you were getting held up at gunpoint, right? But the robber didn't have any bullets in the gun. Right, so you have this bulletless gun, but you see a gun, and so your hands up, you're afraid, you're intimidated. That's what the enemy's doing. The enemy's coming up to you with a bulletless gun saying, do this, do that, you're worthless, you're dumb, you're ugly, whatever he might say to you. You know the lie because it's a recurring lie. He's in your ear all the time, whatever it is. And here he is with his bulletless gun, with his no power little pea shooter, and we're believing the lie. We're being held up at a bulletless gunpoint. But if we understood that, hey, you're the bulletless robber that I heard about. You're that toothless snake. You really have no bite. You're all bark, no bite. You have no authority over me. The Bible says the devil's under my feet. The Bible says I am more than a conqueror. The Bible says the victory is mine. Come on, open the back of the book, bud. We won, devil. I know the opponent. I know the enemy. I know what you're trying to do. You can't do that. You have no place in my life. Those lies don't happen here. I know I'm not worthy. Hello, but Jesus makes me righteous. But Jesus' blood washed away my sins. So you can't tell me otherwise. But the problem is we get ourselves so bent up on what we might have done or the struggles that we have. And then it can become easy to believe that lie. Oh, yeah, I'm not worthy. He can't really love me. Or I am a hypocrite because I told my friend not to do that. And then yet here I was doing that. So I'm a hypocrite. And so what the devil is saying about me, it just must be true. So I'm just gonna go back here and where it's easy to not take calls. And I'll come to church every now and then, show my face. But then all of a sudden, your relationship with God turns into religion. See, because you don't, no one likes to be a relationship, whether it's a friendship, a boyfriend, girlfriend, or even a marriage where there's no promise, right? There's no real communication. There's no real anything going on. See, but because you've bought the lie that you're not worthy or that Jesus' blood is not powerful enough to wash away your latest sin or your latest issue or problem, so you're back in this place of, yeah, we're not really close, but I'm just doing religion. I'll come to church. I'll clap because I know that's what we're supposed to do. I'll raise my hand because people will really think that nothing's wrong with me and they'll leave me alone. And they'll leave me in this, like, whatever place. But then you wake up one day and you realize that you've just been in religion, that you haven't had a relationship. And then instead of getting back into the Word, instead of saying, God, I need you. God, I long for you. And here he is with open arms. You believe the lie that he's like this. I can't believe you did that. I should have known better. I shouldn't have died on the cross for you. But that's a lie from the pit of hell. He's always like this. He's always been like this, and he'll always be like this. This is his posture right here. In fact, I think of it in, I forget who I was talking to, a friend of mine. We were talking about our kids and my crazy son and how, you know, how it's common. We're seeing new ways of communication between parents, right? So I remember seeing this headline that Queen Elizabeth upset with William and Kate over the fact that William had knelt down like this to talk to his son. Because royalty or people of authority don't bend down to talk to kids. But it was a big old hoopla because, you know, it was a picture on whatever, one of the magazine stands at the grocery store. You know, here he is kneeling down to look him in his eye to talk to his son. The posture of a good father says, look, son, look, child, I'm right here. I'm right here. What's going on? Talk to me. But yet we think God is over us like this, kicking us while we're down. Kicking us while we're down. But that's a lie. So the better we are in knowing our position, the better we are in understanding our opponent, that the devil is a toothless snake, a bulletless robber, trying to hold us up at gunpoint, trying to steal us of our destiny, trying to steal us of our life with him, the better off we are. Last point. Know your position. Last number three, know your objective. The idea is to, not to lose, but to, come on, win, no matter what, right? The job, the objective is to win. See, that sounds so elementary. Of course, Antonio, of course we're supposed to win, yeah. But yet, I think, you know, and myself included, I can forget the objective. I can forget that, in fact, the objective is to live a life for Christ. To live a life that he's called us to. But we can never meet that objective if we forget our position. Or if we don't understand that our hardships are really lies from the enemy. And now don't get me wrong, because I'm not saying everything's the devil, right? Like sometimes you should have just gotten some more sleep. You know, you should have set an alarm. Oh my gosh, the devil made me sleep past my alarm and I lost my job. No, set an alarm. Get to your work on time, right? Not everything's the devil, right? We hear that a lot. Not everything's the devil. Let's be responsible people. But at the same time, we have to know that we are called for greater things. And I believe, and I know... Here in the hearts of our senior pastors that here at the Rock Church, and it's not about a church, but I believe that God wants a fresh move of his spirit at this house and in our region, because that's what it's going to take in our generation, a fresh move of God, a fresh move of his power, a fresh move of his love and his spirit, because judging someone, you'll never judge someone into heaven. You'll never judge someone into relationship. And we're going to have to step outside of ourselves because Jesus stepped outside of himself. I was just listening to a message today. Come on, we know the Bible says he could have called legions to come get him off the cross. Yet he stayed. Yet he stayed on the cross because he knew the job wasn't finished. Because he knew he had you in mind, that there was sins to be paid for, that there was a price to be paid. And he was willing to sacrifice his comfort for us. So, you know, where I want to move to next is I want to pray for a few things. And one of the main things that I want to pray for, I want to pray for all of us, or everyone who desires in their heart more. Like Pastor Joe was saying, like the songs say, to just jump in that vast ocean of God's love and have access to the power. You know, I've been on a little bit of a personal journey in my faith and where I believe God is at, just an understanding, a journey of my understanding of God and as believers, what authority we have. And I find myself in 1 Corinthians 12, we hear a lot about the spiritual gifts. Now, I'm not going to lie. I was born in a Pentecostal church. I was raised in a Pentecostal church, and I love the moves of the Spirit. I love all that. So it's easy for me to grasp the idea of God doing some really cool things. But at the same time, I don't limit God to the walls of the church and like some really weird, awesome things going on. Because I believe that we are all called, and the Bible says, I read an article, I was surprised who I was reading, it was from a blog that is very Calvinist, right? Very cessationist, like they don't believe in the current, I mean, I didn't think they would ever write about why we should desire the gifts of the Spirit. And I don't want to get too much into all that because that's a big explanation, but God makes gifts available for us as believers. And with those gifts, the reason why he gave us these things is because, look, he's like, all right, for my born-again people, for my people, for those who are heirs of mine, I leave you with the Holy Spirit. And with this Holy Spirit, I'm going to give you gifts because I know, because I've given you assignment. In other words, our assignment is to live on this earth as godly people and share the gospel with others. He's going to give us tools and equip us with everything that we need to do so. Does that make sense? Can I get a witness to that? Right? So everything that you need, you have been given. And the Bible says to desire these spiritual gifts, because in having these spiritual gifts, you will have the authority you need and you will have the ability that you need to do what he's asked of us. Do we see in the characteristic of God anywhere where he would ask us to do something and then not give us how to do it or give us the power to do it? So tonight, I want to pray for that. If there's anybody in this place tonight, we can all stand. If we could all stand, if we could get the keys back up, and then, you know what, I'm not going to lie. Can you guys sing Reckless Love again at some point? Be ready to go back into that. We want to lay hands. So if I can get the team up here, the leadership team, if you guys can come up, I want to lay hands on any, and really, what this call is for, this invitation, is for those of you who are desiring more of God. And maybe you don't understand, he's talking about spiritual gifts, what does that mean? You can go into that, we could talk about it afterwards, and I'll encourage you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14, awesome chapters, kind of really laid out. But it's really, if we sum it up, it's about the love of God, and getting into the love of God, and experiencing more of his love, and being able to share his love with other people. So if that's you in this place tonight, if you desire that, we just want to lay hands on you as leaders, as your pastors, because we believe that you are anointed to have such. You are anointed to have these gifts, to be empowered to do that. So you can leave this place and your religion, your relationship is not closed into the walls of this church. So that when you leave this place, you can go share the love of Jesus with others. Maybe it's by an encouraging word. You know, some of the gifts of Spirit are words of knowledge, words of wisdom, prophecy. These things might all just be kind of weird words to you. But if nothing else, you're sharing God's love. Sharing God's love with other people is a gift that God gives us. And so we just want to lay hands on you. And really, it's kind of like we want to activate you to go out of this place, to leave these walls, and to go do the will of God. I'd be lying if I said it's not just to grow this place. I mean, we want to fill this room up, absolutely. But what is more important is a reflection of what a full room would mean. It'd mean that people are coming to Christ. It'd mean that people are devoting their hearts and lives to Him. It'd mean that stuff is happening in our Inland Empire. I believe our generation is changing. Come on. So we want to activate you tonight. If that's you, if you guys could just come forward. If you want to be activated, if you want to know and understand better and be equipped for His love, for His work, come forward tonight. We want to lay hands on you. And again, maybe it's a little confusing, but if you want more, if you desire more, come forward. We want to lay hands on you and pray for you. Okay, as we wrap that up, there's a couple more things that I want to pray for. And I know that, I really felt that God had just put this in my heart. And so this one's a little bit, I'm not sure, but I can't help but feel it. Is there anybody in this place that's on a, like, maybe like a trial drug? You know, that maybe maybe you have a sickness, a disease, or maybe you have a family member or a loved one that's on a trial medication or diagnosis. Is there anybody in this place with that? I know it's kind of like out there, but is that anybody? No? Yeah? If you guys could come forward. Can we just put our hands, stretch our hands out? I don't know the situation or exactly what's going on, but I believe that the reason God told me this is, and what all this was about, what we just prayed about, was to express His love in this manner, to express His love through comforting, through peace, through healing. And so we're going to believe for a healing. And again, maybe we can talk afterwards as to if it's you guys, if it's a family member, but we just want to believe for healing tonight, that whatever this is, that it was through a dream last night that I just kind of woke up like, but God knows what's going on, and He has these people in His hand. So let's just believe for healing tonight. Heavenly Father, I just come before You, Jesus, and I just pray for a miracle in the lives of those represented here tonight, Lord God. We pray for healing, Lord God, because that's what Your word says. Your word says that by Your stripes we were healed. It is already done, that You paid the price for our infirmity. So we are just only asking for what the word of God already says. So we declare it in Jesus' name. Yes. Amen. 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 God is healing and moving on your family members, okay? The next thing, I just want to pray for marriages tonight. I just want to pray for marriages. So if there's married people in here, if you guys would just be so bold as to come up, come forward, I just want to pray for you. But by no means, babe, we were just fighting this week. By no means am I praying from a perspective of, hey, I have this awesome marriage and let me just bless your marriage. I just believe that God put it on my heart to lift up marriages. So if you're a married couple, I know there's a few of you in here tonight. If you guys could come forward, can we lay hands on you guys? Can we pray for you? I know there's a couple marriages represented on the stage. So we are praying for all the marriages of our young adults ministry tonight. PJ's, PJ is not here tonight, but we are praying. So if you guys could extend an arm, guys, all jokes aside, guys, we just are believing. Look, guys, cause, you know, I'm part of our marriage ministry here at the church, and we understand that a strong marriage means a strong family, which means we are raising up a generation of believers. Amen. And who knows, the enemy is after marriages. You guys all know the crazy stats on marriages. The devil does not like marriages. So if he doesn't like them, we know that we're supposed to love them. So let's lift up our marriages tonight. Heavenly Father, we come before You, Lord God. Lord, what You have joined together, let no man put asunder, Father God. We speak life over the marriages of this ministry, Father God. Each and every couple represented, I believe that You brought them here tonight for this reason, Lord God, that we might pray for them, that we might bless them, that we might encourage them, Lord God, that You would strengthen communication, that You would strengthen and deepen love, Lord God, that as married people, we would cherish our spouses, that we would love on them, Father God, with an unreciprocating love, Lord God, the love that You showed us, Jesus. And we thank You, Lord God, that strong and healthy families will rise up out of what You are doing in this place tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. One last thing that I want to pray for, and we'll finish up. Maybe it's a little bit different. I know that we are young adults, a little bit older. But I want to pray for those who are, maybe you have a strenuous relationship with your parents. A parent, mom, dad, whatever it might be, or just your parents in general. You love them dearly. You always have. But there's just like a strain, whether it's a disagreement over moving out of the house or whatever it might be. I want to lift you up in prayer. So again, if you would be so bold, why does He make us go up there? I don't know, but I just want to pray for you guys. So if that's you tonight, whatever that relationship might be, I didn't get a poll of what people are doing. I want you guys to be comforted because God put this on my heart, because He's saying He knows, He sees. And we're going to believe for healing. We're going to believe for a change. We're going to believe for restoration in these relationships. Now, I'm sure there's a diversity of what this might be, whether it's strained because of whatever it might be. But I believe that God wants to heal that tonight. Come on, can I get a witness? If we could just extend our arms this evening. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you that first and foremost, you are a loving Father. Lord God, we are not fatherless. We have you, Jesus. But at the same time, you have given us earthly parents. And if we are blessed enough to have them alive on this earth, Lord Jesus, we are praying for a restoration of these relationships, Jesus. That you would move on the behalf of each and every person that's up here today, Lord God. Something brought them up here, a longing, a desire for a connection with their parents, Lord God. You know what the situation is. I just pray, Lord God, that you would heal it, Lord God. Bind them, Lord God, as parent and a child, Lord God, that it would be a love that represents who you are. And bring comfort and peace into this situation, even now, Lord God. I pray for miracles, Lord God. I pray for phone calls out of nowhere. I pray for any abandonment issues that would be restored, Jesus. Lord God, that peace that surpasses understanding would be upon each and every person in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you, guys. I went a little long, Pastor Joe. I apologize. But I just apologize. I don't have any excuses. I went long, so I'm sorry. But did everybody have a good time tonight?